Okay, welcome back to Project Independence in You. I'm your host, Rebecca Miller, and our guest host is Ann Hirsch. And we want to get right back to Gail. Gail, you still with us?
I am.
I want to extend this program for like another 3 hours. Are you available?
Sure, if you don't mind me putting away my, I just had my whole place painted. If you don't mind the clutter in the background, we can yap. Obviously, I have the gift of gab. I'm sorry, ladies.
No, don't be sorry. This is fascinating, and this is why, you know, you were recommended to us, because this is really interesting. You know, this is Project Independence is a aging in place program for the town of North Hempstead, and we have about, 50,000 people, 60 and over, living in the town of North Hempstead. This radio show can be streamed live from anywhere through the LIU campus. You can also listen to it on 88.1 if you're nearby. But for the most part, you know, all these shows are archived and anyone from anywhere can listen. So I know I personally have friends listening in Florida right now. But we're so happy to be talking to you. So we were before break, we were talking about Mommy Dearest,
right,
and the movie and the scene where I think there was, you were referring to a scene where they were talking about therapy or a psychiatrist,
yes.
Right?
So we were in a therapy session, and my mother says, I pulled a Mommy Dearest on Gail, and she proceeds to talk about that night. Well, I will say she did many, many Mommy Dearest nights, and one thing you'll get a kick out of, if you see my movie poster for the film, it's my brother's 1959 bar mitzvah picture. And my mom was a very glamorous woman, and even at her ripe old age, she's very beautiful. She's still very beautiful.
Yes.
So she looks at the picture and she says, "I do look like Joan Crawford." With pride.
Right.
There's no remorse at all. This is what she would say, because, you know, the film screened so many places, and I opened last year in the theaters on Long Island, and then it was in New York and L.A. and many locations. But if she was doing the Q&A or responding to an audience, because she travels a lot with me with the film, and we are booked in all kinds of places, and she'll say, "You know, when Gail was born, I bought a crib and it came with directions, but I did not come with directions."
Oh,
so,
goodness.
And it's true. She, you know, she did the best she can. And, you know, I will tell you honestly, I don't think she was very happy at that time in her life. There's another thing that goes into place here, ladies, is that she was a woman of her generation that did not have the opportunities that I did. These women, they got married, they had babies, finished. My mother was a very smart woman. She still is a very smart woman. She didn't really have an opportunity to go to university. So there's that generation gap. And I know a lot of women, I'm a baby boomer, I know a lot of women whose mothers, some of them, my friends who went to Wellesley, out of her 10 girlfriends, when they were in college, three of their mothers committed suicide. There's a jealousy that they can't have the life that they're watching their daughter have.
Right.
So it's very complicated. And now, you know, I have to tell you, my mother loves this movie, even though she's been called, you name it. She's getting, you know, the most likable bitch. She's been called, she gets cited in Florida. She lives in Boca Raton. People stop her, and she actually loves the attention she's getting. So I don't know anyone else who has a mother like me that would have been willing to go on this journey, which is so revealing. And I have to say, most of the footage in the film, as I open up the movie and share, was never meant for anybody to see, because I'm a diehard documentarian of deeply private moments. And I've just documented like video diaries. So much of the footage I never thought anybody would see other than me. And I was very lucky that I had this huge archive of 8mm footage, which I knew because I grew up seeing it. So when I thought to do this, I didn't know who else would do it. And I did it with one intention, everybody, and that was to help people, not to vilify my mother. And I actually made the film Abuse Light. I think it's enough abuse in there. And I added humor because she's funny and I could be irreverent. And I didn't want my audience to slit their wrists. That was not the purpose.
Do you think by your mother doing this film and, you know, being out there is maybe her way of saying, I'm sorry?
That's a great question. I wish I can say yes, but I'm going to say no. Okay, I have to just say about people, okay? How we're wired, and this is what I tell people. My mother is one of the smartest people I know. She's a great investor. She can start a business. She can cook anything. Actually, she's man and woman combined. She can build anything. But when it comes to the area of anything psychological or intuitive about human behavior, she is clueless, and she will always be clueless. She doesn't have the gene, and I'm not a great investor, you know. So that's the key, is like you have to change your expectations about people. You know, I know a lot of people, and I don't want to mention any names. A woman wrote a book about baby boomer women and their mean mothers. And this woman never forgave her mother. And she thinks it's fine and great. But I've watched her be very nervous and tense and whatnot. And I really believe the forgiveness is only for you.
Right.
The person who hurt us, they are clueless. It's like trying to ask Stevie Wonder to drive a race car. My
right.
mother doesn't have the skills. She doesn't have the intuition. She doesn't have that gene to understand what she did. And she's never going to. I mean, it's me who has to do the work. And by me changing how I behave towards her, it changes her. Because if I react to her cruelty and her nasty comments by being cruel back to her or cowering, it just builds the fire. It's like adding wood to the fire and it gets bigger. You have to let it subside.
Right.
By letting it bounce off, by ignoring it, by actually giving a little humorous spin back at it.
Humor is so important, Gal.
Totally.
It really is. It
yes.
is such, it is therapy in itself.
Without disrespect to mom or to yourself, what role did your father play in all this?
Okay, so if you see, I don't know if you saw the movie, but my father was a very unhappy person. He was abused himself. So he grew up with a huge, he took on the victim role, which, by the way, I tell everyone, be the hero of your story, not the victim. So he wore victimhood all over him, and he was miserable. He worked with his father and his family that were all, so he was continuing the dynamic by working with the people that were disrespectful to him. And he comes home to a woman who doesn't have the time of day for him. So he had a very short fuse, and my mother used him as the German Shepherd to stick on me. And so his rage went towards me. And if not, he was in the bedroom doctoring himself because he was so unhappy. But to me, and if you see my film, a lot of people feel a lot of sympathy for my father. Because as I said, he was just trying to survive, and he lived a very unexpressed life.
Well, I think you are, like I was saying before, you have so much compassion for everyone and empathy and like really looking to why people are that way. But I'm curious about your brothers. What do they think of all this? Where are they? What was their kind of impression of your relationship with your mother? Were they clueless until the film, or what do they feel now seeing their mother in this light?
Okay, so my brothers, and I really do recommend people listen to my TED Talk and see the film.
As soon as I go home, I'm listening to your TED Talk.
Okay, good. So my brothers were her bouncers. The one who was just 4 years older, because we're 4 and 8 years apart, he didn't want me around, so he tried to kill me at all costs, and she punished me. So he didn't need any encouragement to go after me. And the older one, and he says this in the movie, where he got all welled up. He said he did as he was told. So if my mother said, hold me down, put me on the refrigerator, he did it. So they had no, I was in enemy territory, guys. I'm not looking for sympathy, but I didn't have an ally or a friend. It wasn't good. And they continued with their bullying in adult life. And so I had to forgive them because they weren't raised to love me. I can't fault them. It was how they were exposed.
And how about now?
Well, I mean, I can't say we're bosom buddies. they're very close with each other. I mean, I see my family. I had to go on my own journey to forgive them because their attitude continued through adult life. And so I had to reframe how I looked at them and saw them as wounded children. I don't know what happened to them before I was born because I wasn't there. But, you know, I know that everybody has a story. And so, you know, I have one brother a doctor, one brother a lawyer. My mom used to introduce, and, you know, I'm Jewish, so that's every Jewish mother's dream, right?
Of course.
Exactly. So she would introduce her three children. This is my son, the doctor. This is my son, the lawyer. And then she turned to and point to me and go, this is my daughter, the con artist, which she thought was a funny little spin on words because I'm an artist.
Right, right. So we have like 2 minutes left, but if you want, we can do another 15-minute segment. That's up to you. I know you're busy today. But what's in the future? What do you have next?
So I wouldn't mind. I mean, I want to get this out, and if we do 15 minutes, fine to get it out. Okay. So because of this movie's impact, and as I said, I'm blown away by the response. One is I am traveling with the film, and I am speaking. I'm speaking with it, without it, doing keynotes and workshops. And because I have now hearing from people all over the world, my next thing is to launch workshops and online courses. So I can reach people virtually where we work through these. I go through my steps. I teach my method because I'm on a woman with a mission because I hear about everybody's pain and I get a lot of great feedback. So, you know, I've become the accidental therapist here to help people. So that's what I'm doing and what's in the works. And then the book is in the works. And then I'm probably going to get a podcast off the ground with me interviewing and speaking to people on this theme from women who are household names. I know a lot of, you know, because I'm in the entertainment business.
Right. We have like 30 seconds left. So why don't we come back for 15 more minutes, and then we could talk about how people can get in touch with you, the best way to find you, where to find all your films, and that kind of a thing. So we'll be back. Just stay on hold, and we'll be back in a few minutes with Gail Kirshenbaum, filmmaker, and a lot more. Thanks.